Good morning. For most of you, I'm not a special guest, but for those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael. I'm one of the youth here in the church. That's my father, Tim, right there, and if you'll notice, we're both wearing Christmas ties, and we keep that up every Advent. Every Advent Sunday, we wear Christmas ties, so keep an eye out for that. Today, I'm going to speak to you about the shepherds. Pastor Nick asked me to speak in church, and I was more than willing to come and share with you guys. So first off, I'd just like to pray for my sermon, and then we'll get started. So, hey God, I want to thank you today for the wonderful weather we had as we walked out the door, as it was bright and crisp, and I thank you that there's not a better day for me to share your word here. I pray that your words will be spoken through me, and that whatever you want to be told in this church, that I'll tell it, and that it'll be heard. And not only, God, that people will be moved and people will hear your message through me, but also I will hear your message here today. I thank you for the wonderful musicians we've had already and how they've moved me. I thank you for Christmas songs. I just love Christmas songs. And thank you for your wonderful love and your son that you've given us. Amen. So, shepherds. As a shepherd, you'd probably hear a lot of jokes about sheep, don't you think? And then you'd probably want to go home and tell them to your sheepdog, but he's probably heard them already. There was a policeman in a big city, and he stops a man in a car with a sheep in the front seat. The policeman comes up to the car. He says, "Well, what are you doing with that sheep?" he exclaimed. "You should take it to the zoo or something." And so the guy's like, "Oh, yeah, it's a great idea." And then he drives off, so the cop's all good, right? The following week, the policeman sees the same man in the same car with the same sheep again in the front seat. And both of them this time are wearing sunglasses. So the policeman goes and pulls him over and says, "What are you doing? I thought you told you to take the sheep to the zoo." The man then replied, "Well, I did. And we had such a great time, we're going to the beach this weekend." All right, this next one isn't a joke, so don't wait for a punchline. There were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Messiah and Lord." The shepherds then said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what they had been told to them by the shepherds. And those are some verses from Luke 2, 8 to 20. Of course, we know the story. We encounter all the basic elements every year, whether it's through reading the actual story, hearing the carols echo through the mall when you're going your last-minute Christmas shopping, a nativity scene, a children's Christmas play, or Bridgeway Community Church's classic Christmas Eve service. Even an unbeliever would have a hard time escaping the reminder of it at some point or another during the season. And yet, maybe through its familiarity or the normality of it, Christmas seems to have lost its drive and its power to move us. We need to encounter this story in a way that goes past the familiarity of it. I myself am guilty of this. Every year on Christmas morning, I hear my dad read to my sisters and I the story from Luke chapter 2. You know, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that was being taken place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. You all know the story. But we need to stop reading it as just a story and allow it to really enter us. We need to realize that Advent didn't just happen once. It's happening over and over again, many times in us. To go beyond the story, we need to look at it within ourselves. We need to see how we fit within the story. And the shepherds are an easy gateway into this. As a group, they seem to have no obvious qualifications or qualities that warrant them being the first to receive the news. So, let's dive a little deeper. If we look on the surface, the shepherds actually have about the least amount of qualifications for being told the good news. They weren't leaders in society. In fact, they were quite the opposite. They didn't have an education. They weren't magi or scholars like the wise men, and they weren't religious leaders. In reality, they were quite looked down upon by the rest of the nation back then. There is historical evidence that they were social outcasts, and them not even being able to give testimony in court is just one indicator of that low cultural status. Shepherds were on the fringe of Jewish society, known to be a little rough around the edges and to spew tall tales and vulgar speech. So it never made sense to me why God would pick them. And now I know God always uses those who we never expect, but why didn't he pick a child, or a widow, or a Pharisee? Why did the angels appear to this group of tired, smelly, bad apples? And this is my favorite part of the entire story. We don't actually know. Nowhere in the entire rest of the Bible does it point to a singular reason why God decided, hey, that group of sheep herders over there looks like the perfect place to share the first of the good news of the birth of my promised son, the Messiah. But this does happen over and over again in the Bible, and there's some pretty strong themes that come around in situations similar to this, and they fit the story. So I'll start off by sharing a few of those with you. The first point I have is that the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds to show that God's love applies to everyone. This is what the famed and beloved Billy Graham believes. God chose to announce Christ's arrival to the shepherds in order to show his great love for everyone. The shepherds weren't just humble people limited to watching over a group of sheep. As I mentioned before, shepherds were looked down upon by many people. But since God's love is for all people, he chose to reveal his love to people who were looked down upon and considered less by others. And he does this over and over again. Let's look at a couple examples. People he chooses who appear weak, outcasts, sinners. Noah was a drunk. Abraham and his father worshipped idols. Jacob lied. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried about everything and paid special attention to that one. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer. Okay, so maybe that was more than a couple. Oh, and let's not forget about Lazarus. That guy was dead and God still used him. So what's stopping him from using these shepherds to spread the first news of God's word? Sure, people probably wouldn't believe one or two of them, but a whole group, maybe. And this wouldn't be the only time people didn't believe God's work either. There's multiple instances where God's word was rejected. One example in John 12. After Jesus predicts his own death, John 12, verses 37 to 40 say, "Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe him. This was to fill the word of Isaiah the prophet. The Lord who has believed our message, Lord who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe because, as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. So they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." God specifically hardens people's hearts so they wouldn't listen, and so they wouldn't understand his word, so that he could later heal them later on. And so it would make sense in this passage if he would do the same thing with the shepherds. God sent his angels to appear to the shepherds to show his love for everyone, which is exactly who his son came for, everyone. And it doesn't matter if people believe the shepherds or not, because they'd have plenty more opportunities to believe later on. And that brings me to point number two, the prophetic declaration. Alfred Edersheim, a biblical scholar who lived between 1825 and 1889, believed that God had a divine purpose for announcing Christ's coming to the shepherds first. He mentions the shepherd's job description offers us a clue. These men who watched the sheep, meant for slaughter, received a divine message about the ultimate lamb who would take away the sins of the world through his death and resurrection. Here are just a couple verses about Jesus, the shepherd of his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. John 10, verse 11. Jesus himself says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." What I find interesting is the contrast and how many times Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd versus how many times he refers to himself as the lamb. But that's a whole different concept, so I'll stick to this one. Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He took away the sins of the world through the shedding of his blood. And while the shepherds merely rejoiced in the fact that they saw the Christ, the Savior, God sees the ultimate end of Christ coming to earth. There are many scholars that believe these shepherds were tending the Passover lambs. Somewhere deep within Jewish tradition, a belief had arisen that the Messiah would be revealed from the Midgal Eder, which is the Tower of the Flock. This tower stood close to Bethlehem on the road to Jerusalem, and the sheep that pastured there were not the type used for ordinary purposes. The shepherds working there, in fact, took care of the temple flocks, the sheep meant for sacrifice. So that, too, could be the prophetic declaration that Jesus is the ultimate Passover lamb. So it makes sense that the angels appeared to the shepherds there first, who were, in fact, tending the Passover flock. Certainly not for certain, but another point to look at when thinking about the prophetic declaration of his act, especially considering Jesus was, in fact, the ultimate Passover lamb. Number three, and one I find particularly interesting and worth mentioning, is that God laid things out the way he did to shame the religious leaders. Gabriel Powell, in a blog entry, noted that one reason why God chose to announce the good news of Christ's coming to the shepherds was to shame the religious leaders at the time. It would be quite logical to announce Christ's coming to those who led in spiritual matters. They would be up on the prophecy of a coming Messiah and the scripture regarding that. They could share it with people who would believe them. And if the Messiah was meant to be a leader, why shouldn't he be introduced to the leaders first? But the religious leaders during Jesus' time were so proud of their religion that they were so proud of themselves that they would even call themselves the children of Abraham. Now we read in John 8:37-59, how the Lord Jesus countered their claims and showed them they were wrong in saying that. Such religious leaders were put to shame in God's eyes when he chose the shepherds. This is based on Paul's assertion in 1 Corinthians 1:27-28, saying, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame to the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame to the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to the things that are." The religious leaders might appear good and great in the eyes of men, including their fellow religious leaders, but we know here, even today, that God can see through all of us. Now here's my take on the matter. I believe that all these three reasons have some merit to them, but if I may give my own two cents, I believe that God chose shepherds to reveal who Christ is. He is the great shepherd. Being a shepherd isn't an easy thing. They have to protect the flock from the dangerous predators such as wolves and lions and bears. Shepherds have to make sure the sheep are safe and have enough pasture to graze on. Shepherds have to make sure not one sheep gets lost, because when they do, they will be in danger. And the shepherds didn't even own the sheep. They were working for someone else. They weren't their own sheep they had to look after. It was just a job. And Christ Jesus, however, is not just our Passover lamb. He's also the great shepherd of the sheep who lays his life down for his sheep. John 10:11. He leaves the 99 to seek the lost sheep. Luke 15:1-7. And the shepherd who meets all our longings. Psalm 23. And the great shepherd who calls for his lost sheep to follow him. John 10:27. Now, if you read the front of your bulletin, you'd see that the title of my sermon is "How Do I Fit in the Christmas Story?" And by now you might be wondering how that fits in with what I'm saying. Well, ladies and gents, boys and girls, hang on to your hats and buckle your seatbelts, because I'm going to tell you. The beauty of this story is that we are just like the shepherds. No, you might not actually herd sheep, unless, of course, you do, in which case I feel sorry for you, because I've heard that sheep aren't that bright and can actually be quite a pain. But what I mean is that everything I've talked about today about the shepherds can be applied to you. My first point, how God appeared to the shepherds to show God's love to everyone, everyone, including you. He took the outcasts of society and used them to show his love for everyone in society, every single person. I know we hear that a lot, but it still trips me up every time I say it out loud. God used the shepherds to show his never-ending, unfathomable love to every single person. Isn't that amazing? God used the shepherds to allow us to understand how he was both our shepherd and the lamb, which is my point number two. God is both the shepherd for his people, going after the one, even though he has to leave the 99, rejoicing when one lost sheep is found, the gatekeeper that all sheep must pass through. But Jesus is also the Passover lamb. wiping his blood over the doorposts of our own lives, covering our own sin, covering all the sin for all mankind for all time, washing us clean, the sacrificial lamb and the great shepherd. And this all comes back to the main point, showing God's love for everyone. But what does this mean for you? The angels say to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And that's what it has to do with you. Peace on whom his favor rests. It has to do with your peace, the peace that comes from God's love. So I'll leave you with this. It's important, especially important around the holidays, to remember why God sent his son to you, and why God sent his son Jesus, and who he sent him for. And of course, Jesus came for every single one of you. So if you don't find that perfect gift, or maybe you can't afford to buy something for a parent, or maybe there's a big blow-up at your family gathering on Christmas Eve, and you don't have to worry. Remember Martha, who worried about everything? God still used her. So it's okay if you do worry. But that's the beauty of God's love. Just like he came first to the shepherds, he came first for you. Every single one of you. That's an incredible peace that we can find. And in that fact and realization, that allows us to joy calm, allows us joy and calm all year round, and not just around the holidays. To close, I'd like to read you a quote from John MacArthur. "The biblical concept of peace does not focus on the absence of trouble. Biblical peace is unrelated to the circumstances. It is a goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. You may be in the midst of a great trial and still have biblical peace." Paul said he could be content in any circumstance, and he demonstrated that he had peace even in the jail at Philippi, where he sang and remained confident that God was being gracious to him. Then, when the opportunity arose, he communicated God's goodness to the Philippian jailer and brought him and his family to salvation. Likewise, James wrote, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." So today, this entire Christmas season, I invite you to find peace. Not absence of trial or absence of trouble, but peace within the trouble. Within this busy season, I invite you to take a moment and reflect on the shepherds and the incredible peace that God brought them that day. I'd like to close with saying that it's not just a peace that you feel once. And it's not just a peace that you can feel around Christmas either. Like I said before, Advent doesn't just happen once, and it happens all year. It happens in you every day. Jesus' coming didn't just happen at Christmas. Jesus' coming happened for you all year round. So I hope this year that you can find that peace in amidst your trials and in amidst your troubles. Thank you.
Shared the birth of Jesus with the shepherds. The shepherds went and they told. Who would have believed a shepherd, right? Michael said it himself. Who would have believed a shepherd? No one. They were dirty workers in the field. They were rejects. No one would believe them. But they went and they told. And this peace began to spread. It made me think of the Christmas Eve service where they hand us all the little candles. And we pass that light around, and how it starts with one or two people. And you turn to your friend, and you pass the light to them, and it jumps onto their candle. And you pass, and it jumps onto their candle. Kind of made me think what would happen, eh? We grab these couple candles here at the front, and just said, take it home. And this week, if you see someone who needs peace, just light their candle. Just tell them why you have peace. Tell them why you have hope. How many people in the city would have a lit up candle by next week? You know? So be a shepherd this week. Look for people that need to have hope, need to have this peace. Maybe take your candle and light their wick. Share with them Advent. Share with them the hope that you have in Jesus Christ and the story of his birth. Let me pray for you as we close this service. Father, we approach your throne with humility because we do not deserve to be able to speak to you. And Lord, forgive us for the times where we have not given proper respect. Father, it's an honor that you choose to listen to us. It's an honor, Lord, that you gave your one and only for me. And you gave your one and only so that all people could be saved, Lord, through your name. I thank you, Lord, for Advent. And that's not just for good people inside a church. It's not just for people with shirts and ties and people that try to live following the rules. That Advent was for shepherds in the field. Lord Jesus, this gospel isn't just for us. This gospel is for the people out there who aren't sitting in here with a shirt and tie on a Sunday morning. Lord, they need hope. We have this hope, and they need this hope. So, Lord, impress it on our hearts through your Holy Spirit to carry our candle with us this week. And just like the shepherds, to hand this hope to the people that we see. And, Lord, they might not believe us, but that didn't stop the shepherds from telling their story. They heard your voice, and they told their story. Be with us, Lord, as a church, as we go out into this world to tell your story. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.